Okay, welcome. Thank you for being here. Namo myo ho renge kyo. I hope you're taking care of your health. All of us need to be conscious of our own health and be compassionate toward the health of others. However you feel about masks and social distancing, realize that this isn't an imposition by the authorities. This is a helpful plea to our own sense of humanity and helping our brothers and sisters, our fellow human beings, whatever age they are, and whether or not we're infected with this pandemic. And how we survive it depends on many factors. But that those factors are not in the people that surround us. So we can't predict that. All we can do is be respectful. Not just for ourselves, which we certainly must be, but for those around us. Because as Buddhists, we know that our environments are us. So disrespecting your environment is disrespecting your own life. So, from a Buddhist perspective, wearing a mask is just plain self-respect. Okay? All right. Now, not that any of you have had to confront that, but just my two cents. All right. So this platform, since I guess I'm thinking about illness, and we've read a few things recently about illness and karmic illness and how our bodies can manifest not only illness but protection from illness by our own state of mind, our life condition. And that's an interesting combination of words, because life condition, we often bandy that around in Buddhism, and we think of that as largely attitude and mental health. But in truth, life condition isn't just mental, it's samsaric, it's physical. And so life condition implies the physical as well as the environmental and the mental, or slippery slope, mental, spiritual, spiritual, mental. Spiritual often gets tied up very often with otherness and powers from around us. But if you remember always that Buddhism teaches that we are not separate from our environment, that we are in fact one organism, then when we speak about spiritualism, we really are talking about state of mind and therefore life condition. See the circle? All right. So this Gosho, another short one. I heard that sigh of relief. Sometimes I can go on and on, so some of you may be justified in being exhausted at my long-windedness. So there's hope that this one will be shorter, because it's a short Gosho. So let's just get to it. Let me get to it. It's called The Bow and Arrow, and it was written to Toki, the wife of Toki Jonin. This letter is about recent events. Toki Jonin's mother, who's I think about 90 when she passes away, Toki Jonin is on a journey to Minobu, the area he was born in and grew up in, to a memorial ceremony for the burial of his mother. For some time now, Toki Jonin's wife, is a lay nun. So as her duties as Toki Jonin's wife, she's also a teacher of Buddhism and obviously a disciple of or student of Nichiren. But she assumed the duties of care of Toki Jonin's ailing mother until she passed away. And in the process, Toki also has gotten sick. There's no intimation here as to whether she's got the same thing that their mother-in-law had or anything like that. It's just that, well, if any of you have taken care of a sick relative, parent, for any length of time, you know how wearing it can be on your own physiology and mental state, life condition, as you try to make things peaceful and comfortable for somebody who's on their way out, right? So that's the context that Nichiren sends this letter to her. He's not in communication, evidently, with Tokijonin, who's preoccupied with the memorial for his mother. And he intends this letter to be read not only by Toki, the wife, but to be shared with her husband upon his return. So here we go. I have received 1,000 coins in a bamboo container. This is obviously something that was sent by Toki or Tokijonin to Nichiren. It is the power of the bow that determines the flight of the arrow, the might of the dragon that controls the movement of the clouds, and the strength of the wife that guides the actions of her husband. And what are we talking about here? Once again, resolute mind, our resolve, our commitment, right? The bow is our resolve and our commitment. And with that, we control the flight, the power, the direction of the arrow that the bow launches. So if you're weak in resolve, not to belabor the point, the bow is weak, and so the far doesn't go very arrow. The arrow doesn't go very far. All right. And so that commitment is not only to our practice, but our responsibilities in samsara, and to her being a dutiful wife is her responsibility to her husband. So again, Buddhism always includes samsaric existence, because that's where Buddhahood happens. He goes on, in the same way, it is your support that has enabled Toki to visit me here now. We know the fire by its smoke, discern the nature of the dragon by the rain, and recognize the wife by observing her husband. Interesting. Thus, so by seeing good qualities in the man, one can extrapolate the level of support and wisdom coming from his wife, who isn't there. That's interesting. You wouldn't think that of a very misogynistic kind of authoritarian state, right? But that's Buddhism for you. Thus, meeting here at this moment with Toki, I feel as if I were seeing you. So I guess they were in contact. Toki has told me that while grieved at his mother's death, he was grateful that she passed away peacefully, and that you gave her such attentive care. So this letter must have been written after Toki left, and it's going to go to his wife. He said joyfully that he would never be able to forget this in any lifetime to come. My greatest concern now is your illness, because she's not feeling well. Fully convinced that you will recover your health, you should continue moxibustion treatment for 3 years, as regularly as if you had just begun. Even those who are free from illness cannot escape the transience of life, but you cannot escape. But you are not yet old, and because you are a votary of the Lotus Sutra, you will not meet an untimely death. Your illness is surely not due to karma, but even if it were, you could rely on the power of the Lotus Sutra to cure it. Myoho Renge Kyo. King Ajatasattru extended his life by 40 years by embracing the Lotus Sutra. Chen En added 15 years to his life. You also are a practitioner of Myoho Renge Kyo, the Lotus Sutra. And your resolute mind and conviction is like the waxing moon or the rising tide. Be deeply convinced, then, that your illness cannot possibly persist, and that your life cannot fail to be extended. Take care of yourself, right? You can't just wish. You have to do the work. Take care of yourself and do not burden your mind with grief. Stay with your resolute commitment to your Buddhahood, your practice, your Myoho Rengekyo. When sorrows arise, think of Iki and Tsushima and of the Dazaifu office. Or think of the people of Kamakura who were enjoying the delights of the heavenly realm, but when the soldiers left for Tsukushi, their parting with their wives and children who stayed behind was like bark being ripped from a tree. They pressed their faces. This is all about the confrontations with the Mongol invaders, right? A lot of death. They pressed their faces together and lamented while gazing into each other's eyes. Now, the men gradually grow more distant, traveling through Yui Beach, Inamura, Koshigoi, Sakawa, and the Hakena Pass. And so, as one day passes and then another goes by, they march further, farther and farther away, and rivers, mountains, and clouds are interposed between them and their families. Tears accompany them, and grief is their companion. How sorrowful they must be. If the Mongol armies should come and attack while they are thus lamenting, they will be taken prisoner, whether in the mountains or on the sea, and will suffer misery in the ships or in Korea. This is entirely because of the treatment people have accorded Nichiren, in other words, their disrespect of Myoho Rengekyo, the Lotus Sutra, the votary of the Lotus Sutra, who has committed no fault and is a father and mother to all the living beings of Japan. Without reason, they revile and beat him and parade him through the streets. Such insanity has provoked reprimands from the 10 demon daughters, causing the present situation to arise in addition, events that are 100,000, 10,000, million times more difficult to endure will occur in the future. You will see such mysteries unfold before your eyes. There is nothing to lament when we consider that we will surely become Buddhas. Even if one were to become an emperor's consort, of what use would it be? Even if one were to be reborn in heaven, what end would it serve? Instead, you will follow the way of the Dragon King's daughter and rank with the nun Mahaparajapati. How wonderful! How wonderful! Please chant Namu Myoho Rengekyo, Namu Myoho Rengekyo. With my deep respect, Nichiren. And there's evidence that Toki got over her illness because I think she lived to age of, well, she lived, this letter was written in 1276 and she died in 1303. So that's like 27 years. Yeah, she got through the illness. Interesting weaving of information and scholarship from sutra in this Gosho to demonstrate, number one, deep recognition, deep approbation from Nichiren for Toki's role in Toki Jonin's manhood, his accomplishment in her aiding his mother. What a tremendous filial effort and commitment. And the fact that she teaches others, even as she's not feeling well. She is, as Nichiren says, a votary of the Lotus Sutra. Whenever you engage others, you are a votary of the Lotus Sutra. How will you represent Myoho Rengekyo while in the company of others, who we know is ourselves? They say Buddhism is very circular, and this is one of the reasons why. Our behavior doesn't just influence our personal ego self perception, life condition. Our life condition includes everything around us, from our home, shelter, land, vegetation, food, neighbors, community, land, Earth, solar system, galaxy, universe, all of it is one with our influence, our energy, our momentum. And if you don't think there's momentum in your life, remember that the Earth is spinning itself. It's also spinning billions of miles around the sun, which itself and other planets, this solar system, is spinning around an arm of the Milky Way galaxy, thousands of miles per second. If you don't think there's momentum in your life, you're not looking very hard. And yeah, your tiny little speck of dust of influence in that whole thing does matter, does affect it, as it affects you. We've all read horoscopes. What is that based on? The alignment of stars in our lives, which really reflects all of that momentum. These ancient ideas about how we are integrated with the greater whole has been around a long, long time. I'm not telling you to become a horoscope fanatic. I'm just indicating that mankind, samsara, has been dealing with this issue of self and other since it could think. Buddhism resolves it. It's the only thing I've ever found that actually resolves that relationship. To quote Nietzsche, how wonderful, how wonderful. That's pretty amazing. When you start to realize the depth of that idea, mysterious forces, they're just not necessary. They're musings of idle minds. So keep your practice strong. Even if you don't see an immediate reaction, the reaction is there. It's called latent benefit, right? It will manifest. And it is manifesting. Whether you realize it or not, that's more the issue, right? This is why we chant for our awakening. This is why we practice and study and go to this mandala as a mirror, a tool to help us awaken when we invoke our Buddha nature, Myoho Rengekyo, that we can actually be aware of it, realize it at work in our lives. Because it is. The only fallacy is our veils, our inability to see. But that's just... that inability comes from attachment to all the wrong things. That's Buddhism put simple. Remove those veils of obfuscation and see clearly how wonderful, wonderful your life is. Just knowing that elevates your body. You feel it physically and therefore mentally and therefore perceptively. Somebody asked again, Georgiana, if you're watching this, Georgina, was asking, she just read or watched a video on the mind, the ego and perception, or I'd mentioned something in the video about a future video talking about perception. And I'm sure that I talk about perception all the time. It's Buddhism in its entirety. But I probably didn't label a particular video about perception. It just came up in maybe talking about perfection of wisdom. So she was perplexed, like, where is that video? And thank you for the question, Georgina. Because it enabled me to point out that perception is actually the core of every one of these videos. How we are committed to that perception, that perception transcendence of that samsaric perception to gain our Buddha perception. That's Buddhism. That's our whole reason for practice. And there are many, many building blocks for that samsaric perception, right? I think I pointed out a Gosho, or not a Gosho, a sutra about the location. In this sutra, Buddha has a conversation with a monk. I'm trying to remember the monk's name, but it was an inner disciple, about where is this mind you keep speaking of. So I think the title of this particular chapter was the location of the mind. Where is it? Because I know oftentimes, because we're so physically attached in samsara, we want to think of the mind as the brain, but the brain is not the mind. It is certainly a critical tool for perceiving the mind. There's that word, perceiving, again. So we use perception all over the place. Perceiving the mind of perception, the attachments that influence and affect our perception. Our delusions are another word for broken perception, misperception. Buddha wisdom is a clarity of perception. Perception itself is an act. I don't mean an act like comedy and tragedy. I mean an act as in a volitional cause. Our momentum of energy pushed in a certain direction. Those of you who study martial arts are familiar with chi or ki, right? Bioelectric energy, and how we can manifest or condense or collect and direct that energy, right? We see it in a physical act. We think of moving the furniture. We then put our body in motion to move the furniture. We then put our hands in a position to move the furniture. And then we focus our energy to we take that bioelectric energy, focus it to certain muscles and placement, and direct it into a physical act, an energy displacement, if you will. Right? We do the same things, actually, we just did, with our mind. Before it manifests as physical, it is all mental. And it's collected, not by, we may use the brain and its communication devices to our bodies, but in order to push the brain to enact these certain actions within our bodies, we do it through electrical energy, through electrical signals, right? Our mind does that. Our brain's just a slave to our mind. Namo Myoho-renge Kyo. I guess I made that long enough. Thank you so much. You got to know. I joke about this, but it's because I'm so appreciative of your participation in this. It helps my practice, my personal practice, grow, and it affects our entire sangha. Because the more you watch, the more I want to communicate. Those of you who can support financially in some way, or even just sending things like a box of incense, it's amazing how meaningful that is. And how it affects the entire sangha, not just your life condition and my life condition, but the life condition from all of those who participate in watching these videos, because they all benefit from it. And that grows the measure of your reward. Amazing. This whole thing is so amazing to me. I could just sit here and say amazing, wonderful, incredible, just adjectives all day. Namo Myoho-renge Kyo. I'm going to let you go now. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in the next one. Thank you so much. Namo Myoho-renge Kyo.